Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And then they had to leave because they were unvaccinated, would not social distance, and would not wear a mask. That's all I got today. I'm sorry. Sometimes you got to laugh so you can't cry. Let's pray for our nation this week. And let us not just give fleeting prayers, not just God move or God specific prayers. Pray for our nation. This has been my prayer for COVID. Dry it up. Dissipate it. It's a virus. I've been praying that God would literally, there be no traces of it left, period. Pray for our leadership at the local level, the state level, and our national leaders. They need prayer. See, I didn't vote for them. Then you should pray doubly for them. Pray for them. They're making decisions that are weighty decisions. They know they're weighty decisions. Pray for them. It's very, very concerning what's happening in Afghanistan. And we have a church here where we can come and pray and worship and believe and operate in faith. We do that because of freedom. But none of us were scared to come and worship today. But there are literally people who woke up in Afghanistan saying, we will gather and we might die, but we'll gather anyway. And to see all of the videos and things coming out, it is sobering. And it's a reminder that Jesus is coming back. And he's not coming back for a church that's quiet, whimpering, or cowering. He's coming back for a church that is spotless and without wrinkle. But he's coming back for a church that's not full of sheep, but it's full of soldiers in Jesus' name. And so let us pray for everyone that is being affected by COVID and the issues overseas and all of our leaders. Are you ready to get into the Word today? We're in the fourth out of five messages in our series, Jonah, running from, running to, running for, a revival for. Jonah 1, verse 1, and we'll read verse 2 and verse 17 as well. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. Somebody say, get up. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish, this is verse 17, to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, or to hear than religious tradition. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, quit running from, start running to, and then tell him, hashtag, run like Jonah. You may be seated. The last few sessions, we have talked about the theme scripture here in verse 1 and 2, where the word comes to Jonah, but Jonah begins to run. We see Jonah running from the word of God, his calling, his purpose. Jonah runs from instead of runs to. I think very, very easily to illustrate faith and to see where our level of faith is when trouble shows up, which way do we run? Do we run from or run to? Mandy and I have been married 18 years, and there's one story she tells a lot, and it was probably close to 14 or 15 years into our marriage. We were at the first youth camp. This would have been 2016, 5 years ago. We were at the first youth camp that we ever did, that we ever hosted. And where we were staying, there was five little cabins, and it looked like something straight out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You had to pray through to walk in, to sleep there, and to get up every night. We're in the East Texas Pine Woods, where once you get in there, it's as dark as can be. And we're walking with some friends after a night of services with the young people, and curfew's been called. It's probably close to 1 or 2 in the morning. And we're walking through those woods, and we've all got our camera, our flashlights on our phones, and we're trudging through the woods, and suddenly something rustles in the bushes and runs out. That's when you know what kind of person you're really married to. Now, you know how this story ends because your boy wouldn't be telling this story if I hid behind her. But I jumped in front of her and put her behind me. And Mandy said, that's when I knew. I said, that's when you knew? 14 years into our marriage, that's when you knew? But in times of adversity, in times that we're facing today, the Afghans, who in the last few days have made the decision, we're not running from. We're not running away from danger. We're not running away from, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to denounce Jesus, but we are going to claim Jesus. And if that means death, then Jesus, I'm coming to see you very soon. Running to and not running from. Jonah hears the word of God. In last session, we talked that he ran to a place called Joppa, which is the beautiful place. Ran to a place called Tarshish, which is a wealthy place, a place known for the ships of gold and silver that they were mining out of Tarshish. It's funny that when the hard, difficult seasons of life show up, how quickly we want to return to the beautiful places. How quickly we want to return to the wealthy places. But that's not where God called Jonah. God called him to Nineveh, the great and the wicked city, the house of fish, not a house of beauty, not a house of wealth, but the house of fish, the house of stink, the house of mess, the house of wickedness. Can I encourage you, as Bishop so greatly preached this morning, that we are not to play tug of war with saints from other churches. If they're at great Bible-believing, Spirit-filled churches here in San Antonio, leave them be and let them be. We have been called to San Antonio, and it's why our reach team will go to the crack district here in just a few days. Why? Because God has not called us to the beautiful. God has not called us to the wealthy. God has called us to the hurting, to the broken, to the lost. Now, some of those lost people might be beautiful. Some of them might be wealthy. But most of the people that we will come into contact with are hurting, are dealing with all sorts of things. And that's what Jonah was running away from. And I think the reason that he runs away from it is he knows that he doesn't have anything that he can offer them to make their life better, but he forgets that he's got God. Remember, the apostles would tell the lame man at the city, at the gate called Beautiful, there it is again, tying it in. It said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk again. Church, can I tell you that we don't have enough money? If we pulled all of our money together, we don't have enough money to solve the homeless and the population that is hurting in San Antonio. We can't solve all of their problems. And so we will do what we can. We will open food banks. We will have drives to give them clothes and supplies. But the greatest thing we can give them is Jesus Christ. I know that churches, including us, we try our best to do a lot of programs. But unless we're reaching the soul, unless we're chasing souls, unless we're reaching for the lost, saying, hey, if you don't know Jesus, there is no great afterlife for you, then we have missed it. Bishop mentioned in the first service, and I'll mention it here, but churches here in town paying people that are shacking up $500 to get married. I don't know if that's a good thing, because as Bishop said, you cannot buy them out of sin. Should not put pressure on a couple that maybe is not supposed to be together to get married and stay together. Then you will become an accomplice in a bad decision, and you will answer for that. And so I'm not here to tell you what to do and how to do it. I'm here to tell you what God said to do and how God said to do it. And that's why the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Not the word of a pastor, not the word of an elder. Now, if they're saying the word of God, then preach on, pastor, and preach on, elder. But I want to make sure it's the word of God. So we see Jonah begin to run, and as he's running from God, it's not just that he's running from God. Because here's the deal with running from God. God is everywhere. So you might be running from him today, and you might have been running from him for a very long time, but I've got good news. If you've been running from him for 2 years or 20 years, if you'll stop and turn around, guess what? He's right there. So running from God is not really the basis of his big mistake here. It's that he's running from the calling of God and out of the will of God for his life. It's so much easier to just keep running and hiding. And so Jonah found a boat, the Bible says. He found a boat going the opposite way. Running from always has more boats available. If you're looking for a way away from God, there's always going to be a way away from God. The avenues leading away from God are wide and are many, but narrow is the way. The road to heaven is not wide, not to make it hard to find, but because there's not a whole lot of people going there compared to the people going to the other place. Ooh. Jonah paid the fare, the Bible says. Running from always has a price. I tell my kids this all the time. I've told Tyler this a lot recently since he has graduated high school and he thinks he's now grown. How many of you adults remember when we were 18 and we knew the answer to every question of life? And now I'm almost 40 and I realize that I still have a lot to learn. But I tell this to Tyler and my kids. Running from God, acting and living like the world has a price. You might not pay today. You might not pay tomorrow. But believe this, you will pay. And you will pay with your life unless you get it right. Jonah went down into the boat. Running away from always brings you down. Running towards Christ and his purpose will always bring you up. Then the Bible says that Jonah went with them. Running from always puts you in the wrong crowd. Surround yourself with faith-filled people. Surround yourself with people with a testimony. We ended here last session talking but in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, and the ship was likely to be broken. The Lord sent a great wind. I know that flies in the face of a lot of theology, but God uses a wind here to get Jonah's attention. God uses a wind here as Jonah has gone down into the bottom of the ship to sleep. It is amazing how comfortable we can get in our sin and in our running. He's so comfortable that in the middle of a hurricane, dude is sleeping. They're up there. The boat, the Bible says, is almost breaking in half. And if you hear it above the wind and the waves, it sounds like a lot of us. Jonah's just snoring, so comfortable in his sin. I'm going to tell you, like Pastor Mandy told the young people last night, we are here at Living Way to call you to wake up. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to the voice of God. Wake up to salvation. Wake up to the calling of God for your life. So we find out that the wind that has been sent is sent from God. So what happens when you find out the wind you and I have been fighting was sent by God? The best way to overcome an aggressive and combative wind is four words. Write them down. Type them out if you're taking notes. Turn your boat around. What you've been fighting will literally start propelling you towards destiny. The wind did not quit blowing. The wind just, when he shifted the direction of the boat, the wind, can I just tell you that some of us have been fighting God, and if we'd quit fighting God and start fighting the adversary and turn our boat around, you're going to see that the energy that you and I have been using to fight things, we're going to start seeing instead of fighting, we start flowing. There it is, 100-degree turn. You quit fighting and you start flowing. Some of us don't have energy to fight the adversary because we spend too much time and energy fighting the calling of God on our lives. Here is a slogan that you probably get tired of because people will tell us this in times where we're in the fight of our life or in times where we're fighting against something. They'll say this, four words, go with the flow. I'm going to tell you to go with the flow as long as you're in the right river. Some of us, well, I'm just going to go with the flow. You better check your boat. You better check who's the captain of the boat. And you better make sure that you're in the right river. Because you might be the right person. And you might be the right man or woman that God has called. But if you surround yourself with the wrong people in the wrong boat on the right river, you can be the wrong river, you can be the right person and still end up in the wrong place. One thing we talk here about Living Way and something that God has given me a couple years ago is we are spirit-fed and spirit-led. So when I talk about being in the flow, I'm talking about the flow of the Spirit. You and I should be filled with the Holy Ghost so much that not do we just speak in tongues on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but we should be filled with the Holy Ghost so much that when God gives us a word and we get out of line with that word, that it doesn't take us 10 days, 10 months, 10 years, 10 steps, but immediately the Holy Ghost says, you need to listen to that word. You're in the wrong place. That's the wrong people. That's the wrong river. That's the wrong flow. And because I'm in the Holy Ghost flow, it shifts me. Somebody say, run like Jonah. Verse 5, the mariners, the other people on the boat were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, little g, and cast forth the waves that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah had gone down on the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. There he is. Jonah's lack of faith. Listen to this. Jonah, who is called to preach faith and to preach Jesus to Nineveh, is now running away from God. Not only is he not preaching faith, but now he's causing the people closest to him to fear and live in fear. Jonah's lack of faith produced fear in those that were in closest proximity to him. Come on, Jonah. Or come on, Brandon. Or come on, Living Way. Or come on, believer. The world needs your faith. Your job needs your faith. They're watching CNN and Fox News every night. They're not at a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church this morning. And so when you show up tomorrow, it's not doom and gloom. It's not gossiping about coworkers. It's not talking smack about your boss. Jonah, God has called you to preach, to stand in faith, and be a voice of faith. Somebody say amen. The world has enough. The world needs our faith. Isn't it amazing how comfortable Jonah is out of the will of God? My prayer in studying this, my prayer in prepping this series, my prayer every day for the last 5 or 6 weeks after I dove into Jonah yet again, my prayer has been this: Jesus, never let me become comfortable out of your will, out of your presence. And then I've declared these three things: convict me, draw me, chastise me. Are you mature enough as a believer? And Jonah was, because he was a prophet. He didn't just go through membership class. He didn't just go through VBS. This is a man of God. But he was not big enough and mature enough that when God chastised him, he said, yes, God, you're right, and let me repent and turn around. But when God came at him and for him, he ran the other way. Can I tell you, church, are you big enough for God to convict you? Are you mature enough when God's word says you're not doing right to not throw a hissy fit and pout, but to say, God, you're right, I'm out of line, out of will, and I need to get back in line with what you're telling me to do? We as believers, and I said this a few weeks ago, we as believers must become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mandy can tell you that as she's grown in her gifts, because if she had her way and her personality, she would sit in a room by herself and write books. And that's how she would get God's word out to everybody. But when I can promise you that at some point this week, she's going to tell me, hey, next time you have me talk about Empower, give me a heads up. When I ask her to preach, it's usually 2 or 3 or 4 weeks before, because she wants to pray and prepare and fast and all, and it's out of her comfort zone, but it is. I've seen her grow so much in the 18 years that we've been married by continually saying, God, if this is what you want me to do, God, if you feel like I have something to say, then God, I'm gonna stand out there, and my knees might be shaking below the dress. My teeth might be chattering, and my mouth might be cotton dry, but God, if this is what you want, God, I will do that. And so I want to encourage you, just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Sometimes your comfortableness and being comfortable means you are out of his will. Verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? So why are you sleeping? Arise. Ooh, there that word is again. It's bad when the heathens start preaching to you. God said, you won't listen to me, Jonah? That boat you get on, you're not going to make it out alive unless I have my way. He said, I told you to get up. So here is a shipmaster that doesn't believe in Jehovah God that goes and becomes God's mouthpiece. Hey, Jonah, get up. God's plan is still moving. God's plan is still yes. God's plan still includes you. Arise and call upon thy God. If so be it that God will think upon us that we perish not. Even the shipmaster knew Jonah had received a word and was called when he said, arise. Verse 7, and everybody on the ship, everyone to his fellow said, come and let us cast lots that we may know which one has caused this evil to come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. And they said to him, tell us, we pray. Five things they asked. Who caused this evil to come upon us? What is your occupation? Where did you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? The crew asked from the ship five questions to Jonah. Who caused the trouble? What do you do? Where did you come from? Where were you born? Who are your people? The five answers to this question. Who caused the trouble? Jonah should have said, me. What do you do? I'm a prophet. It's amazing that nobody wants to take responsibility for their problem. Remember when I preached that the devil didn't give you a flat tire? It was you rolling around on bald tires for 3 months. And this past week, coming back from lunch, it was just me and Jade, and my gas tank hit zero, hit empty. And one of my friends called me out when I posted. He said, didn't you just talk about faith and wisdom and not putting yourself, don't be praying that you make it to the next Valero when you had 460 miles to plan your next fill up. Come on. Didn't want to accept responsibility. Who caused your trouble? Can I just save us a lot of heartache? Who caused your trouble? Me. Well, you don't know my ex-husband. You picked him. Well, you don't know what my kids are going through. You raised them. Well, you don't know what I have to put up with at my job. You applied there. And everywhere I go, I'll become a Facebook friend with you, and I'll do, when people tell me they're looking for a job, it's the last thing that they want to tell me, because everywhere I go, up and down Pat Booker, up and down Nacogdoches, all those four hiring, now hiring, $15 an hour, $1,000 bonus, I'm taking pictures and I'm sending to them. It's not that they don't want to work, they don't want that job. Well, you don't know the kind of poverty I'm living in. No, but I do know that you post on Facebook from a $1,200 phone. You're wearing $300 shoes, you got a $400 handbag, and you pay $800 so your little girl can cheer all over the states, and you buy hotel and airfare so you can go and cheer her on. The problem is not them. It's us. Well, the devil made me do it. Who gave the devil place? The Bible says give no place to the devil. The Bible says that when the devil talks to you, you say, hey, you get thee behind me, Satan. You belong under my feet or behind my back. And so every issue that I have, you say, oh man, Pastor Brandon, the devil's just after you. He tore your Achilles. No, you know what tore my Achilles? Being 260 pounds. It's getting quiet now. And I'm preaching about me. I'm preaching about me. Amen that. 260 pounds, trying to act like I'm 18, keeping up with my 17-year-old, not stretching properly, not taking care of myself. And so I can blame the devil all I want, or I can say, Brandon, you could eat right, be disciplined, exercise, stretch right, be 175 pounds, and you probably wouldn't be going through that. And you say, does that mean you just got to grin and bear it? No, because that's what grace is. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. I don't deserve God's healing. He'll heal me anyway. In my mind, I thought you'd amen me preaching to me more than that. Because usually I'm preaching that way. I was preaching this way. What caused the trouble? Me. What do you do, prophet? You know that fool's not telling people he's a prophet. Hiding in the bottom of a boat in a hurricane. Where did you come from? Just outside Joppa. Where were you born? Gath Hepher, which is present-day Galilee. Who are your people? The nation of Israel, son of Amittai. Why do those five questions matter? Why are we taking time here? we're taking time here, and I'm gonna hurry to a close here. Those five questions matter because they will be asked by the witnesses that are watching our lives. Or we will ask ourselves those questions when storms arise. If you were to ask those five questions to me, BC, before Christ, who caused the trouble? Them. Always. Always them. It's always them. It's always the boss. It's always that coworker. It's always your in-law. It's always them. What do? Whatever feels good. That's the generation we're in. Went to a high school graduation for my cousin in the year 2000, the valedictorian of, I think it was 800 students. So the smartest man out of 800 students stood up, and this was his final epitaph for high school. He said, if it feels good, do it. If it really feels good, do it twice. And all of his classmates cheered him. And now those people hold public office, are doctors and lawyers, and are leading this generation. Because whatever feels good. Where do you come from? South Texas. Where were you born? San Antonio. Who are your people? The Fenders. The Fender 7. However, when Jesus came into my life, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not something we quote, it's something we are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, not around Christ, not weekend visits called Sunday service with Christ, not just calling him like a genie in a bottle when we're sick, when we're broke, when we need something, but those of us that are in Christ, in him I live, move, and have my being. If that man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 reads it like this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Doesn't mean weird. It means different. We are different than those that we go to school with, work with, and abide by. You are different than the neighbor down your block. You are different than the people whose occupation is a struggle. You are different than those that are woe is me. We've got a song in our heart, a sword in our hand, and faith in our spirit. We are a different and peculiar people. But you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Sister Gloria, as long as this church remains and you and I live, I want you marching and dancing in this altar every time praise goes up, every time worship goes up. Why? Because the Bible says that praise is something we see. Show forth the praises of our God who's called us out of darkness. So bring this in with Jonah, who's called us out of the bottom of the boat. Who's called us out of the bottom of the boat, who's called us out of a past of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time, man, this fires me up. We're not a people, but now are the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So those five questions for believers, it shifts once we say yes to Jesus. Those five questions tell me the direction you are running in your life. If you're running like Jonah at the beginning of your story, at the beginning of his story, you're running like Jonah at the end of his story, which we'll get to next week. But if you were to ask me those five questions today, it would be, who causes trouble? Me, but I know how to fix it. What do? I am a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am his disciple. Where do you come from? From a long way off. From the other side of the cross. Where were you born? Well, I was born in San Antonio, but if you're talking about the only birth that really matters, that happened at a summer camp on July 17th, 1999, when just like Saul to Paul, God laid me on my back on a concrete floor, and he fixed me, transformed me, messed me up, wrecked me in the best way possible, 180-degree flip, and got me up a brand new man. Who are your people? That is a great question. You see, my father is God Almighty. You might know him as Jehovah. My older brother is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm surrounded surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people like David, Esther, Moses, Abraham, Deborah, Paul, Peter, John, Mary. Oh, and I have a great family of believers here on this earth. If you want to know who my people are, David's my people, Michael's my people, Tammy's my people, Kevin's my people, Dolly's my people, Wanda's my people, Warren's my people, Dahlia's my people. I'm not right. Tanya's my people. Gloria's my people. Olivia's my people. Everything has changed when I started running to Christ. Pastor Becky, if you'll get ready. Sister Ryan, sitting here on the second row. How long have you been coming to Living Way, Sister Ryan? 18 months. When you start coming to Living Way, God saved you, filled you with His Holy Ghost, healed your baby girl. He's healing your family. You're a lighthouse to your family now. You're the Jonah that God has called to run. You know what I love is when you came in this building, you had been running from, but when God got a hold of you, you started running too. And you know what I noticed about you, Sister Ryan, is your friends changed. Where you came from changed. Where you're going changed. The people you do life with changed. Your testimony changed. All of those things changed when she started running too. So the question is, where are you running from? Or are you running to? So you can point and play the name and blame game all you want. But if you'll just take responsibility and say, those were my actions. Those were my, but I can fix it because I know the God that can fix it. I messed up there, but I know what grace can do. I know Jesus Christ. I live in Him. I move in Him. I have my being. Stand on your feet. This was Jonah's reply, verse 9, those five questions. He said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. He's in the bottom of a stinky ship, sleep in his eyes, hurricane rolling on the outside, and they ask him the question. He said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. This is where Jonah begins to make the shift and turn on which direction he's been running. This moment right here when the question is asked. Say, well, people ask me those questions. If you live the life Christ has called you to live, these questions will become everyday questions. People at your job will say, why do you act like you act? Why are you always smiling when the world is falling apart? I know every day can't be. You're so perky. It's not perky, it's present. It's Jesus. So when they say, why are you always happy? That's a question. So who are you? Now you can start talking about Jesus. And always be a reflector and a deflector. If they talk about something good in you, it's always Christ in me, the hope of glory. Sometimes you need to remind people around you. Most of the time, we need to remind ourselves who we are. This is the four things that Jonah covered. This is who I am. He said, I am a Hebrew. This is what I do. He said, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. That's who God is, who made the sea and the dry land. This is what God does. Four answers that will change your life. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is who God is. This is what He does. When you're faced with a storm, you're tired of running away from Jesus, when you're faced with the questions that all of us will be faced with, who are you? This is who I am. I'm a child of God. What are you going to do about it? This is what I do. I'm faith-filled. I'm going to continue to serve God. He's never let me down, and He's not going to start now. You really believe that? Well, this is who God is. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. And this is what He does. He saves. He heals. Those four things cause the running direction to shift. Man, see, now it's good that I'm on this stool because I can shift. I want to open this altar right now for Jonahs in this room. Not the Jonah that we take to task, but things are shifting in your spirit today. Things are